Welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Nick Hilton, and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Katie Balls. So it's the day after the speech that shook the nation and the Prime Minister's confidence. How are things looking for Theresa May in the cold light of day?
I think that speech was, after having had the opportunity to sleep on it, was even more remarkable than you think. If someone had proposed this as the set of a political drama, any two of those things happening in the same speech would have been considered a far-fetched. To have all three of them happen is quite exceptional. I don't mean there is any immediate move against the Prime Minister. Those who would like her to go now, I think number in the 20s, no more than that. I think the interesting question is what happens, though. We are back to where we were straight after the election, where there is a sense that if something else goes wrong for Mrs. May, it could tip the balance. And I think there is also lots of Tory MPs are looking at March 2019 and thinking 18 months seems an awfully long way away.
Katie, there's little you can do to legislate for falling letters or a kind of sore throat. Was there anything substantively wrong with that speech?
Well, I think even if you just focus on the things that we're all focusing on, so the cough and so forth, there were things her team could have done, such as her doing less broadcasts the day before, not having as many late nights, so speaking at things like the Con Home party. And just in general, there's a feeling that perhaps maybe she didn't need to do a speech that was over an hour if she was really struggling with her voice. As for the speech, I think it was probably quite lackluster anyway. It didn't have the radical policies that so many people wanted to hear, and it also wasn't particularly inspiring. Why I think, although everyone is rounding on Boris Johnson at the moment, sometimes for good reason, the problem is he was the most inspiring speaker at the conference. He spoke in the hall and he filled it up and he made people happy to be conservative and a bit proud about it. And Theresa May didn't do that in her speech. Even at the beginning when she was speaking quite well, I don't think she had her, you know, that thing which made everyone want to stand up.
We saw a pretty punchy Telegraph front page calling Boris the roaring lion. Is that more a case of the contrast to May, or is there an underlying Boris factor which is being hyped up within the party?
Boris has lots of flaws, but he also has an ability to project to make an argument. Now, if you look back to the EU referendum, I think most people, certainly David Cameron, the reason why some people are so angry at Boris Johnson is they don't think the Leave side would have won without his campaigning star power, and he has that ability to project something. I also think that it's just worth going back to Casey's point, and he's right, which is this speech, right, read the text of it. And I think if she'd been able to deliver the text with a normal voice, I still think Tory MPs would have been worried in a slightly different way, because this speech doesn't address the scale of a challenge facing the Conservative Party. It doesn't set out a radical enough agenda and with enough urgency. You know, she declares that she is the Prime Minister who wants to fix the housing market, which is broken, which I think rightly she says is alienating so many young people from the centre-right and traditional market economics. And then the solutions she proposes are just far too small-bore. They need to start thinking big. And I think the challenge for Theresa May is that she's not instinctively a politician who likes to embrace that. You know what I mean? Who likes to embrace big, you know, overly ambitious targets. But I think in this case, she needs to, because that's the only way she's going to get this done. The only way you're going to get enough houses built is to throw the kitchen sink at this problem.
What is the thinking within the May camp about that £2 billion figure? Surely they know they're just kicking the can down the road.
I think they are incrementally making progress. You know, they will say to you very rather crossly sometimes, you know, we are not fighting a general election tomorrow. There is 4 years. There is time to make progress. And the argument is that Jeremy Corbyn promises bigger things than them, but they will actually deliver on the things. I think at the moment the problem is that the pledges are too small. They're too small to move the dial. You know, I don't think anyone who thinks that housing is the biggest issue facing the country is going to be swayed by that speech. I don't think anyone thinking that tuition fees is the biggest issue facing the country is going to be swayed by them being frozen. You know, they need to go big. They're playing small ball right now.
And also, I think what was quite telling, I think it was last week when we saw one of their first attack ads of late, which was, you know, Labour, it was about Labour's, you know, many billion pound black hole, and it said, Labour always takes it too far. But the problem is, no one thinks the Conservatives take it nearly far enough with these policies. They're so minuscule that their attack on Labour at times, although it's a financial one, seems that it's almost a compliment. At least Labour have radical policies.
Have we seen Labour targeting Theresa May now? Is there a sense that they think that they could force something to happen there, some sort of action?
I think the Labour Party wanted to remain in place.
So that you don't think there's any reasonable prospect of a change of leadership in the next few weeks?
Look, I think it might well be. But I don't. What I don't mean you're going to see is 46 letters going into Graham Brady on Monday morning. That's not how it's going to happen.
Does she reshuffle her team now?
I think it would be a bold move to reshuffle at this precise moment, because she does seem to be in probably a more fragile position than she was just before conference. It has backfired for her. But at the same time, she does need to do something. I personally would like her to see her do a minor reshuffle, not because I want to see the Foreign Secretary sacked, but because sitting in that conference hall and being at conference the past few days, this is a very stale party, and a lot of that is due to the Cabinet, who just weren't really attracting people. The members weren't excited by them. And there are some posts, there's party chairman, there's culture secretary. There are posts where you can basically put someone new in, give you a promotion, and you're not rocking the boat so much. Obviously, things like Brexit secretary, you don't want to change it at this time, but there are ways she can do it. And I think it might be what she needs to show that if she can't do it herself, her speech, she can do it with actions, then show that her party is changing.
You know, I think I was very struck by the point Katie made in an I column that, you know, if you look at the two of the three biggest draws at this conference, they're not in the Cabinet. And that is a problem, you know. And if politics is becoming a battle of ideas again, you need better communicators. You need someone who can go out there and sell a Tory message.
For now, the Cabinet seem to be in some sort of enforced unity. Amber Rudd is forcing everyone to stand up and applaud. Are there people in the party who are expressing their dissatisfaction with the Prime Minister, saying that perhaps she should walk?
Well, we saw today Ed Vasey, former minister, now on the backbenches, doing an interview with his local with Oxford BBC, and he said that he didn't say that he was one himself, but he did say he knew several MPs would like her to go. When he was asked personally, he wouldn't say it directly, but he did say he thought conference was a big opportunity that had been missed, and, you know, conference should have been really important for them. But I personally think the fact that he decided conference wasn't important enough for him to actually attend means that maybe it doesn't quite have the gravitas of another MP.
And has anyone been really sticking up for Mrs. May?
Well, Charles Walker, who significantly is the vice chairman of the 1922 Committee of Conservative Backbenchers, he has come to London and been out doing the rounds, defending her position. I don't think anyone is angling. I think there are about 20 people who would like her to go immediately, go now. I don't think she's going to be pushed out this week, next week. I think the point is that she cannot afford any more disasters. She cannot afford any more moments, because if a few more things go wrong, 18 months will start, and March 2019 will start to seem an awfully long way away to Tory MPs.
And do you see any potential banana skins in the near horizon?
Well, I think Prime Minister's Question Time every week. It is always for prime ministers that. It is a bear pit. Jeremy Corbyn is not a forensic interrogator, but there is just a danger that, you know, that you have a disaster. And then I think the other obvious banana skin coming down the road is the budget, because the budget is very tricky for them, because there are quite a lot of unfunded spending commitments that have racked up in recent weeks. And then there is this continual tension about what to do. And I think if you see a budget that raised taxes, for example, in anything other than the least contentious ways possible, I think you would see Tory irritation. And I think if you saw a budget that was seen by Tory MPs as being too negative about Brexit, that could also cause some ructions.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Katie. And you can subscribe to Coffee Hour Shots on iTunes and to The Spectator magazine itself from just £1 a week at spectator.co.uk/pod offer. And we'll even throw in a limited edition red Spectator moleskin notebook.